We'll now ask Mr. Phil Snowden to speak to us on the subject, the drama of Tyre.
Thank you, Peter, and good evening, everyone. This is a topic that I remember as a young lad in the Sunday school here in Victoria, more years ago than at my age I care to remember. And the older Sunday school teachers were telling us about fulfilled Bible prophecy. And one of the ones that I liked the most was about Tyre, the fulfilled prophecies regarding Tyre. So in that short reading we did together tonight, there are serious and ominous words that the Lord God has spoken. So we're going to come back to that as we go along. So welcome and thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share this message with you. Now, there are at least two reasons why I hope you'll be interested in this, attentive to this, and get value from this. One is the aspect of fulfilled prophecy. We believe, and we preach from this platform from time to time, that the Bible speaks of events that are future to the time of the writer, sometimes in great detail. And we take real joy in seeing, in later history, those events come to pass. And these, of course, are real faith builders because the Word of God has been written and laid down many centuries in many cases before the events actually take place. And so we feel assured then that the Lord God is not only able to predict things in advance, but he's the one that makes them happen. And this is good. It strengthens our faith and gives us hope for what is yet to come. And that's the other part of it. What is yet to come? And I'm going to suggest to you tonight, nothing so hard and confidently presented as the past prophecies that clearly appear to have been fulfilled. But there are things yet to come about Tyre that, wait and see. I believe that there are some exciting and interesting things yet to occur that the Bible speaks about, and we'll touch on those tonight. I'm not going to give you enough time to read all of the material on the slides. Note the Bible verses down if you wish. So this is more just moving fairly quickly through a number of scriptures to leave you with some facts and information that hopefully will motivate you to further study. I'm just going to see how this works here. Presumably I'm to push it and make it go that way. That also works. So I wonder, what do you know about Tyre? It's still around. It's a small town on the coast just up north of Israel, so that's where it is. And what's going on there? Well, if you Google Tyre, you find that there's not a whole lot going on there right now. It's a small town on the seacoast, and it's a fishing town. There's not a lot of significant activity in Tyre. Does this work as a pointer? I didn't get all my stuff up here. Tyre's over here. So there we are. It's on the east end of the Mediterranean. It's near Israel. It's also, in our time, in Lebanon, which is also near Israel. It is also near Syria, and we know what's going on in that part of the world. Some quite serious things are happening in that area as we speak. Going back in history, some quite fascinating ruins are there, and I just let you have a quick peek at those, but they are some of the most significant ruins in the Roman world, just in the hills in behind Tyre. So in its past, it was an area of some considerable glory in the buildings and the development that was there. Now, we know that where there are large buildings and huge infrastructures, there must be labor and capital and materials, and all of that comes together, and maybe some imagination in what you see, some architecture. And that all means wealth. And a very big part of what Tyre represents is wealth. So why have I characterized it as a drama? Well, we're most familiar with dramas on the stage or in movie presentations. And they're often based on fact, often based on fact, and have a considerable amount of fiction in them. And I'm suggesting to you tonight that on the world stage, the history of Tyre and its prospects for the future might be exactly that, an interesting appearance, actually, reading like fact, but appearing like fiction in some ways. The question is, why are we interested? Why do we take the time out to be interested and study these things? Well, as we read in that chapter tonight, the word of God is spoken quite boldly and explicitly about Tyre and referring to certain things that Tyre had done that were offensive to the Lord God. So the word of God comes to bear on Tyre. And as we know in Scripture, the word of God also comes to bear on Israel, his people. There are points then in this message about Tyre and the events relating to Tyre that collide with those events in the nearby nation of Israel. And we'll see, we have seen in the reading we did, a collision about to occur from the hand of God. I'm going to suggest that the time of collision, maybe not totally over, but there is a time of merging of the interests of Tyre and those of the future of God's people of Israel. So we'll touch on that toward the end. So why do these things collide and merge and come back and forth? Well, we wouldn't have known about them other than through the word of God and the Bible and the word of the Bible prophets as they speak about future events. Now, here's a couple of generic verses that we always think about when we're thinking about the word of God and that aspect of it that reaches forward. In Amos 3, verses 7 through 9, there's a reference there that God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And of course, it's our challenge as we read the word of God to discern what these things mean. And at the end of that section there, God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So when a prophet got this type of message, he couldn't hold it in. He spoke it out. He spoke it to the people of his time. He wrote it down. It became part of the word of God. And it stands there for us to consider and to consider how it relates to our own understanding of God and of his great purpose. How can these things be that God can discern the future and make it happen? God declares very clearly in Isaiah that he is God, and he knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. And that's a fundamental that we who worship in this place believe about God, that he is an all-powerful being. And when it is his plan for something to occur, then with the work of his angels, he will bring that about. And so he declares at the end of that section, indeed I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. And we find it fascinating then as we read our Bibles to see how these things that were spoken so long ago did come to pass, are continuing to come to pass, and yet speak of things yet to come to pass. Okay, so here we get right into Tyre, and there's quite a large section about Tyre in the area of Ezekiel that we read together tonight. So we started in chapter 26, verses 3 to 6, which we just read. But a summary of that in verse 3, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against you. So God is going to come up against Tyre. And the clear message in verse 5 is that this area is going to become a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. So quite a disaster was going to come on this area, on this city. It will become a place for the spreading of nets. Over in chapter 27, verses 33 to 36, another section. And this touches on the commercial side of Tyre. When your wares went out by the sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with many luxury goods. and your merchandise. Halfway down verse 34, your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you, and so on. So God piles on the descriptions of what's going to occur in Tyre's future. And clearly, this city-state, for that's what it was, had quite an influence among the nations of the day. And the prophet talks about luxury goods, merchandise. And that really resonates with us, doesn't it? Because a lot of what makes our lives so pleasant in this part of the world is the ability to import goods that are made by others in other parts of the world that we wouldn't have the time or the skill to make. Luxury goods. So a big part of what Tyre was about. And back in chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read those. It came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me, and I shall be filled, and she laid waste. And so you can see the tension here between God and his people, God's favorite city, and this sort of lustful desire of Tyre saying, we're going to take advantage. Now, around this time in history, we'll get into this in a moment, there was the work of the Babylonians, and Nebuchadnezzar came through the area, and many nations were taken down by this Babylonian power. But what we see here is Jerusalem and God's people going down, and Tyre saying, this is great. This provides an opportunity for us, a business opportunity probably, because the trade, the influence of Jerusalem was now reduced. And so Tyre had an opportunity to fill the gap. Very common experience that we have in our time. When one organization or one company goes down, others will spring in and take over. And the Lord says, I'm not going to have this happen. Ultimately, Tyre, you'll receive the results of my wrath. The history of Tyre, of old. Now, that's an interesting expression because we're talking about these prophecies here in Isaiah 700 B.C. So at that point of time, if the prophet says of old, we're going back a long way. So in Isaiah 23, verses 6 and 7, he says, cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your joyous city whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carried her off, her far off to dwell? Not the easiest words to understand, but clearly, this, and in the context here is Tyre going over to Tarshish, so it's a maritime power. And their activities in the time of Isaiah had been going on from ancient times. And you can see in the subnote there that it is reported, I don't know how reliable material that Herodotus has written is. Others might be very confident of what he wrote and what he said. But he is said to have visited Tyre about 500 B.C. and reported their history reached back to 2300 B.C., which is around the time of Abraham. So indeed, the city of Tyre and its activities were well known in the ancient world and for a long time. So we're in the year 2000. So you think back 1,400 years, 1,600 years. Is there still a power in the earth that was around in the 500, 600? Well, unless it's the Catholic Church, hardly anybody else is notable now from that far back. But here in the time of Isaiah, or in the time of Herodotus at 500 B.C., here's Tyre still eager and busy doing their commercial stuff in the Mediterranean. And here is a coin that was struck in Tyre. If you get up close to it, you can see that it's got a ship and oarsmen and sea creatures. So they had coins that were struck for them. So in Scripture, where does Tyre in Scripture, where do they touch? Well, back in the time when Joshua was settling Israel after they had been out in the wilderness for some time. Around 1400 BC, Tyre's there. And you can see in Joshua 19 that there is a reference to one of the tribes receiving its territory. This is the northern part of the land. So at the end of that quote, reached to Mount Carmel westward and reached to Zebulun and as far as Greater Sidon. Tyre and Sidon are sister cities, go together and seem to be in the same businesses together. And to the fortified city of Tyre. So we're 1400 BC, and Tyre is a fortified city, and the area of Israel that was assigned to Zebulun reached right to the borders of Tyre. So here's a map that covers the area, Eastern Mediterranean, and you can see Tyre located up there. Tyre and Sidon, just in the northern part of Israel and in Lebanon today. So that was the area from which their ships went out and their trading activities were centered. So we come forward to the time of David. Now, those of us that have been through our Sunday school lessons will know about King David and the building of the city and his preparations for the temple. And he had a partner in this enterprise, Hiram, king of Tyre, in the second section there, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. And if we read on, we find that they prepared materials for the temple that would later be built. So here's the first clear commercial relationship between Tyre and Israel, and you can see they've got the skills, they've got the materials to work out some fairly large project that King David and his people didn't have the experience to do. You know, I often wonder if as that relationship developed and moved on into the time of Solomon, David's son, that Hiram and his people didn't come to know more about Yahweh, God of Israel, and particularly in this great temple that they were building. One wonders if there was an understanding of the promises that God had given to Israel and to their kings regarding their future. In that next section, as we read through 1 Kings chapter 5, we find in the first red highlighted spot there, Hiram had always loved David. That suggests more than a business relationship, that they had become friends. So there's the possibility, there's room to speculate that at this stage in the history of that city, they had come to know God's people, they had come to see them as a favored customer of the area, and maybe more than that, to understand their faith and their religion and know something of their God. And it's interesting, I put this whole section up, it's maybe a little hard to read, but there's detail of how they actually pulled this off. They brought the timbers down, they floated them down, and they brought them up from the coast up to Jerusalem, and then Hiram got paid. So it was a good deal for both of them. And David's house and preparations for the temple continued. So here's something I pulled off the internet. It came out about the size of a postage stamp, and I'm not technologically advanced enough to know how to enlarge it and keep it clear. So this is an artist's depiction of the oversight of the building of Solomon's temple with the workers that Hiram had sent down. So somebody's imagination is at work there in this great project then that followed King David and that his son Solomon completed with the help of Hiram, king of Tyre. Well, it didn't end there, because in this verse we can see that Solomon was into making a profit as well. And there was a partnership there, and the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram, and they plied the area in trade, and presumably they both were happy with the outcome. So friends, here's the interesting part of the history of these two nations. In these early days, whether this was pleasing God at first instant isn't set out for us. But here's a relationship between a nearby nation, a nation with lots of influence, with lots of luxury goods, as comes up later, And they're busy working with God's people, and in a way that is really at the center of the worship of that era, the building of that temple in Jerusalem that Solomon completed. We should make a note of this, because I believe there is an indication in Scripture that this relationship might be played out again. So that's why I'm stopping here for a few moments. So here's a relationship with Tyre, and between Tyre and Israel, and they're exchanging commercial items for profit, no doubt, but also for the worship of the God of Israel. It's not all good, however, because in later generations, the relationship turned, and by the end of Solomon's life, he'd made affinities with, as we know, a lot of women, and that, along with that, came relationships with their gods and their worship. And so the Ashtoreth of the area, the goddess of the Zidonians, became a part of the open society in Jerusalem that Solomon had for accepting the activities of those who worshipped other gods. Later on, and we get down to Ahab's time, some generations later, there's intermarriage. So I'm thinking to myself, there's a relationship that's carried on, a strong relationship between these two nations. And we know a little about Jezebel, more than we'd like to know. So this was not a good thing. She brought the worship of the Baals into the kingdom of Israel in the north, and that wasn't a positive influence for Israel. And the relationship continues. Now, we've gone past the time of the prophets, and we get down to Ezra and Nehemiah. And this is another significant moment in the history of Israel, because their temple had been destroyed, the one that Hiram and Solomon had collaborated together and built, collaborated together and had built years before. Now it's been destroyed, and it's time to rebuild. So when we get to Ezra and Nehemiah, there are continuing relationships between Tyre and Israel. So again, in Ezra, we see the story here of logs are being brought up to Jerusalem to help rebuild the second temple. And then later on, in the time of Nehemiah, when the economy of Jerusalem had settled down, it would appear, and people had money to spend, then the merchants from Tyre were there at the gate, ready to sell and maybe buy and do business. So there's this really close relationship, for better or for worse, between God's people and Tyre. The prophets have a different perspective, of course. They're speaking the word of God, and they're bringing out the value side of it and the relationship as it relates to the worship of the God of Israel, Yahweh, God of Israel. So the influence of Tyre isn't always seen to be good. So Isaiah, he speaks in chapter 23. We're not going to go there, but it's a fascinating chapter to read, and he highlights there's ships of Tarshish. When you get into this, you find that the Tyrians and the Sidonians, they seem to be deal makers, and they use the services of a lot of other people. So the ships of Tarshish and Tyre are not the same, but they're all in business together. Merchants of Sidon, the grain harvest of the Nile, these are all coming together as part of the synergy and the activity that flows out of Tyre. Tyre is a marketplace of the nations, and the traders are called the honorable men of the earth. We've seen a bit of that lately, and until the last few years, some of the honorable, formerly honorable men of the earth have been shown to be crooks and thieves, bankers, for instance. So that's Tyre, and that's the way it was in the time of Isaiah, but it's not going to continue. So in that same chapter, the Lord continues to speak through Isaiah about his purpose regarding Tyre. Notice in the highlighted sections, he's going to bring to dishonor the pride of all glory. He's going to bring contempt to all the honorable of the earth. So these men that traded out of Tyre in their day were seen as the big men of the earth, full of pride, glory in what they were doing, what they were able to accomplish, honored by the populace of the earth. And God says he's going to bring judgment upon them. Verse 12, at the bottom of the left-hand side, "You will rejoice no more, O you oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. There also you will have no rest." Those are ominous words, because in the fulfillment of this prophecy, actually the city of Tyre got dislocated and displaced and had to move to another location. And so the prophet, long before it happened, is speaking of them going across to Cyprus. As I note there, it did not happen immediately. So this prophecy, written in the time of Isaiah, say 700 BC, stood there waiting for fulfillment for some centuries. And that's one of the fascinating things about the words of the prophets. They stand at any time ready to be defeated or to be fulfilled, and sometimes for a long period of time. So we moved on about 100 years, and now the prophet Ezekiel is speaking. Now Ezekiel is speaking in a time when the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. It was destroyed during his time as a prophet. And Nebuchadnezzar had been through the area in his destructive work, and he didn't destroy Tyre. So here's where that haughty language came that we first read about, where Tyre saw an advantage. Jerusalem had gone down under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and Tyre is quite self-satisfied. And you can see that coming out. There's quite a long section in Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28. And here's their view of themselves. "I am perfect in beauty." The next section there, a whole list of countries. And these are Tyre's merchants of choice items. It sounds like an international corporation, doesn't it, with offices in 180 countries of the world or something like that, trading. The next section, "You've made your beauty perfect." Well, they had a different concept of beauty. Beauty was ships full of goods plying the oceans, financed by wealthy men, maybe on board, maybe back in the ports, satisfying the desires of peoples in faraway lands. Quite an industry, you can see, going on as this country, this city-state, is busy about its business. "Your heart is lifted up. You say, 'I'm a god,' because of your riches. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within." So pride led to heavy-handedness and violence. So there is the prophet's view of Tyre. A little bit different than what we might have seen as a collaborator with Solomon and some of the other kings in business relationships and trading. So the words of the prophet continue. "Set your heart as the heart of a god." And God says he'll bring strangers among them, the most terrible of the nations. "And you will die the death of the uncircumcised. I have spoken, says the Lord God." And down to verse 34, "But you are broken by the seas in the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst." Again, that's language that would just fit today. The whole company would go broke, is what he's saying. Well, the fulfillment of this is quite interesting, because the company of that era went broke. But Tyre moved and continued. But in this time, the prophet says, "You will become a horror and be no more forever." So the city of Tyre was going to lose its preeminence. The trading that was emanating from there would continue no longer. And these things would be fulfilled. So we've read this section, quite a long section. In the middle paragraph, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, chariots and horsemen and an army of many people. And I will make you like a top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets." Fascinating then how Nebuchadnezzar
caused this to be fulfilled. Some of this we're going to just have to read because it's material from history books. So after the destruction of Jerusalem and the carrying away of her king Zedekiah into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar took all Palestine and Syria and the cities on the seacoast, including Tyre, which fell after a siege of 13 years. The inhabitants of Tyre fled to a rocky island half a mile offshore. The walls on the landward side of the island were 150 feet high. The channel between Tyre and the mainland was over 20 feet deep and frequently lashed by violent southwest winds. Their fortifications, they believed, would resist the strongest battering ram yet devised. And the city walls stood above this. So the old city was as flat as a rock. The new city was formed on this little island. So that's Peter Green writing. And so it continues. On his way, now we've moved ahead to 350 BC, and it's Alexander the Great. We want to read all of this. On his way towards Egypt, Alexander the Great led his Macedonian troops to victory at Sidon and then continued southward toward Tyre. Tyrian envoys met with Alexander and assured him that their city was at his disposal. However, he put their goodwill to the test by expressing his wish to sacrifice at the shrine of Hercules inside the city. Tyrian goodwill, unfortunately, did not extend so far as to grant him the permission he sought. In short, they would not admit him into the city. Another historian. Alexander was tempted to bypass the city fortress and continue his march toward Egypt. He sent messengers to Tyre, urging them to accept a peace treaty. Believing themselves to be safe on their island, the Tyrians killed Alexander's ambassadors and threw their bodies from the top of the walls into the sea. This act served only to anger Alexander and embitter his troops. And so began that historical assault on the island of Tyre, and he moved his troops off the mainland to the island. He built a mole, it's 200 feet wide, and it was constructed from stones and timber from the old city of Tyre. They scraped it in fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. So there we go. He got over there, almost, but they continued to laugh at him. And through this section here, they brought in stone throwers. The engineers were busy. The inventors were busy. And by the end, that last section there, after a seven-month siege from January to July 332 BC, the great city was now utterly destroyed. And the remaining survivors, some 30,000 in number, he sold into slavery. So that is the end of the physical city of Tyre and all of the activities that emanated from that area. So the prophecies took quite a while to be fulfilled. So we need to keep moving on here. Was Tyre ever rebuilt? And the question is answered by this Denison Gudem in the book Tyre in the ESV Study Bible. You can look this up. It says, "No city has been rebuilt over these ruins. However, in fulfillment of this prophecy, there is a small city nearby, but no city built on the ruins." So the prophecy was fulfilled. And we've read quite a few of the verses, but there are many, many more there that you can consult that bring out a lot of detail. Fulfilled to the letter, as these commentators write in the Encyclopedia of Bible Difficulties. So here is a bird's eye view of what actually happened. This is looking down on the coast of Tyre, and they built this causeway. My finger doesn't do much good when I point it there, but you see they built the causeway, Alexander's causeway, out to the island, and then they took the island. And in the centuries and some millennia since then, that is all sanded in, and it doesn't look like an island anymore. It just looks like part of the coastal topography. So the small town that's out there now is, as I said, a very small and unimportant part of the coastal activities of Lebanon right now. So here's an artist's rendering of the battering rams and the siege and the high walls that were there that Alexander and his folk took down. And here's an artist's concept of one of the stone slingers that had a big big resistor in it. And so when the stone left, it was going at speed and gradually pummeled the wall. And they assaulted the city and made their way over and took it. And there's a real view taken some years ago. Sandy beaches fill now the distance between the two, but you can see the spine of Alexander's area that he filled in that put an end to Tyre. So the prophecies were fulfilled. The question is it all over for Tyre? Does the fulfillment of these prophecies put an end? And we can wrap it all up and put it away and say, there's another picture that God has given of the future of those who oppose him, who abuse his people, who take advantage of his people, and it's done, it's closed. I'm going to ask you to do this on your own time because there isn't a sufficient time to really delve into this next area. I'm just going to open out some thoughts to you. But the question is, does God have more to fulfill in Tyre? And one needs to read Joel chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. And here's the prophet speaking. O Tyre and Sidon and all the coasts of Philistia, will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation on your own head. Down to the end of that section. And will return, this is God speaking, your retaliation on your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to the people far off, for the Lord has spoken. Now, when you go back and think about the context in Joel, your initial reaction in reading this in isolation from the context would be, well, that was probably fulfilled sometime back when all these other prophecies had their fulfillments. I'm suggesting to you that's not the case. The context of this prophecy is the time of the end, when the gathering of nations in the valley of Jehoshaphat is spoken of. And this language from the prophet's day looks very much forward to the day of the coming of the Lord, to the last days, to the time of the great judgments in the time of the end upon the earth. So there is, I suggest to you, a dimension of this relationship between God's people, between God and the outcomes for Tyre and Sidon that are yet to be fulfilled and will be seen in these times that are yet to come. So here's a little more profile to this. Tyre was an economic superpower, forerunner of modern superstates and multinational corporations. We've reviewed that. They maintained trading bases and had currency monopolies throughout the Mediterranean through to the time of, well into the times of the Roman Empire until Rome claimed victory over Carthage. And the fascinating thing is when Rome took over the city of Carthage, all of the activities of Tyre, the trading activities, were then going on out of that city. So Tyre was not an imperial power, but was a trading and banking network among the nations, and it moved from place to place. We saw earlier in Isaiah a kind of hint that it would be moved to Cyprus, and it was. And then it was moved to Carthage, and then Venice, and then Genoa, and Amsterdam, and then it starts to get, now where are trading relationships most prominent? And in recent years, London, New York, and then I leave it open. So I'm suggesting to you that there is a manner in which Tyre will emerge through the kind of nation it was rather than in the geography that it was in the future. So what of the future? Some of you will know far more about this than I do, but some of the European Union symbols are heavily laden with legends from the past, and Europa is one particular one, this mythical woman on a beast. Well, if you go back into the history of that, it is said that the king of Tyre kidnapped from the shores of Tyre to Cyprus and then went to Europe, and so his daughter then became this mythical woman. So one wonders if there is a place for, and here's where, you know, I should have put this in quotes and in gray or something like that, that there is a potential for the European Union, possibly with Germany at the head, to take up some kind of role as Tyre. I put that in with should have put two or three question marks, because they're not a trading nation, a sea trading nation, Germany isn't, but we're looking for trade, and we're looking for banking and influence of one nation upon many others in the time of the end. Why might that be relevant? Well, there's a lot of references in Revelation to trading, merchants of the earth. The name Tyre doesn't feature in that, but there's a great city referred to, and there is a tremendous amount of wealth being described. And we know that there's a dimension of this clearly that relates to a religious component. There's also a very strong dimension of commercialism that's there. And in the days of old, Tyre was the nation that led in that. And then we come back to Isaiah 23, and here's what for me is one of the most fascinating references. And again, it's couched in the language of the time and in the history of the time, but the red highlighted words, her gain and her pay will be set apart for the Lord. It will not be treasured nor laid up, for her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. And I find that, you know, a little difficult to place in the context of Tyre's history. And in the context of this prophecy, I think there is potential for it to reach into the future and to be a reference to some way in which Tyre will assist in the time of the end changes that the Lord God will bring upon the earth. The Psalms, again, speak sort of deliciously vague about this. And here in this section, the very end, and the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. And the language here is quite readily applicable to those things that God will cause to be fulfilled in the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and sets up God's kingdom in Jerusalem. The words were fulfilled. We've touched on this already with the building of the second temple, when once again Tyre contributed her wealth and energy to a nobler end, to helping build the second temple. In the coming age, the maritime powers of the earth, the wealthiest of the kingdoms, will be taught to direct material wealth and energy to such an ideal. This is a suggestion. There will be a revolution in world economies. There will be an elevation of values. There will be a redirection of the earth's products to a new house of glory for the God of heaven. Clearly, looking ahead to see if Tyre can find, if Tyre is going to be found as a part of this. And then reading from Isaiah 60, verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And this is God speaking of the future of Jerusalem. And I'm suggesting in that context that some future iteration of Tyre, the nations that bring material things together with great success, will be there to serve the purposes of the Lord God. So there are a few thoughts. Some sort of working through the details of history, the power of God's word to change things among the nations, and particularly among this nation who, for a period of time, felt itself to be kind of the pinnacle of all that men could achieve, And then God wiped their slate clean, and they had to become like vagabonds, commercial vagabonds, and function out of borrowed premises, as it were. And then there's this, well, I leave it with you, this possibility that God will see them again, back to work, like they were in the days of David and Solomon, helping to bring together the materials for the early years of the kingdom of God. I offer that as a suggestion and for your thoughts, and I thank you for your time as we've considered this evening.